muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bactiguard Q2 report. Today, I am pleased to present CEO Christian Kinch, CFO Fredrik Järrsten, and Cecilia Edström. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Christian Kinch, please begin your meeting.
Hello, my name is Christian Kinch, and I welcome you all to this Q2 report for Bactiguard. It's great to be back after the summer break and meet you all, and I just would like you to remember that the presentation I will be referring to is available on our website. By those words, we move to the first slide. Just stating the obvious, that it might have been vacations so far, but infections and antimicrobial resistance, they don't go on holiday, rather the contrary. For Bactiguard, it's been busy times, joining the discussion and the debate about this area, both in Almedalen in Sweden and also on a more financial level in Båstad. As you might have noticed, the media pressure and the media reflection on this topic has been quite severe during the summer. There has been numerous articles in local press covering the area, as well as the international level. Some things that really stand out is, for example, the very well-known Professor Otto Kasch, stating the obvious, that antimicrobial resistance is one of the greatest challenges of our time, not just threatening the healthcare system, but also the world economy and the global development. I think we need to digest this, and there is a change that we notice, and that is best summarized in the second quote today, and that is: "The use of coatings on orthopedic implants and catheters could actually be part of the prevention from seeing the bacteria growing on the surface going forward." We need to acknowledge this. Just as an example, to put a number on something horrible, sepsis, as of right now, or blood infections, is a $27 billion crisis in the U.S. market. Turn to the next page. Let's look at antimicrobial resistance just for a while, and the projections we see until 2050. We know that antimicrobial resistance is a great threat to mankind. If we look currently on the European level, we see some 20,000-25,000 people dying. In the coming years, to 2050, this will 20-fold to almost 500,000 people. That makes it worthwhile looking at. If we look globally today, this is an area where it's tough, of course, to give an exact number, but from the sources, in this case, from the European Commission, we see some 700,000 people dying from this area. If we don't act, and if we don't do something now, this is gonna 10-fold to 10 million people. When we look at our dear mother world, China will be covering basically half of those loss. Keep this in mind as we go through the presentation today. We will be coming back to the subject. Let's turn to the next page. We have discussed earlier, for those of you who have been with us for some of the presentations, the problem of the rising consumption of antibiotics. Yeah, this is a problem, but it's not just that we are overusing antibiotics like they were headache pills. What scares me most is that now we can see an increase in the consumption of antibiotics used for the treatment of multi-drug-resistant bacteria. This is not good at all, because that means that we are using them incorrectly. When we look globally on this matter, we see that on a global level, only half of the antibiotics currently existing are used correctly. Just to make it personally, I was hit by this myself during the summer. Unfortunately, my daughter had a pneumonia, and standard procedure in Sweden is that she will get a what we call in Sweden, rat poison or rotgift, which is Kåvepenin, Nothing happens, still with fever, 39 degrees for, let's say, a good 7-8 days. Then we come back consuming more of the Swedish healthcare just to get the appropriate antibiotics, which was in this case doxycycline. It took about 2 days, the infection was in control. We left this because for a daughter my age of my own daughter, this is not a problem. For a person with a severe immunosystem that is at risk, this could be meaning the difference between life and death. So we need to shape up. Turn to the next page, continuing on the antibiotic consumption and just looking at a European level. We have discussed before that we are very inconsistent in how we use the tool being antibiotics on a European level. We can see here that Greece, besides having a very tough financial time, are overusing antibiotics. They consume roughly 3 times more antibiotics per year than what we do in, for example, Holland and Sweden. But if you look very closely on this graph, you see, and I apologize for maybe not having the best choice of color, in the lighter blue, you see the use of second-line antibiotics. That means when the first one has not worked, we go into the dynamite antibiotics. The increase here is frightening, and also the percentage of the overall use is way too high. Turn to the next page. So how does this actually affect hospital or healthcare acquired infections? We look at the European level, and as you see on the building to the left, roughly on average, 6% of all patients seeking help in a European hospital will be hit by hospital-acquired infections. And they will stay on average 4 to 5 days extra. Okay, is this so bad? Well, the price for having this level at our current status is that when you look at the right side, 33% of all patients being admitted to the hospitals are consuming at least one antibiotic. Now we're getting somewhere. If we were instead to lower the consumption, hospital-acquired infections would actually go up. But at the current track we're on, the overconsumption of antibiotics will actually provide more multi-resistant bacteria. So then we shift to the next page. Is this then so dangerous? And I say, yes, it is. Why? Because then we are out of luck as for actually treating some of these life-threatening diseases that you see here on your right. Looking at Europe, pneumonia is the top disease here with some 26%. We see, as from before, the urinary tract infection, we see surgical site infection, we see bloodstream infections. So let's say 3 out of the top most dangerous infections here are something that we are addressing with our portfolio, the big portfolio, Bactiguard infection portfolio. But looking at the 6% who are actually hit by hospital-acquired infections, about 70 to 80%, they catch it in the hospital environment. But that means also that basically some 20% are already admitted with infections in the primary sector. And this is also something that we will hear later on from Cecilia, as where Bactiguard is now targeting to also move into the primary sector to even prevent them from coming in with these infections. So let's move to the next page. We are now on page 8, looking at the highlights in Q2. What gets myself and my team out of bed every single day? It's very simple. We are here to save lives. That's our mission. That's what we are driving every single day. Therefore, we are extremely pleased to see that for the 7th consecutive quarter, we see an increase in our bid sales based on a rolling 12-month figure. This is also, as we've seen, supported by higher license revenue. We will come back to the revenue split somewhat later in the presentation. And we also see stable revenues from our biggest partner in the U.S., CR Park, who we're currently had an acquisition bid from Becton Dickinson. This has also been supported by our policy of hedging the US dollar, which has proven to be a very wise decision. So if we look at the snapshot summarizing it, the revenues in the quarter grew by 8% to some 36.5 million SEK. If we look for the first half year, we see an increase of 30% in sales up to 77.5 million. If we exclude the license deal, we see an underlying increase of 7%. EBITDA margin for the quarter is okay. We are not happy with it, but it is at 11% at 3.8 million. But for the first half year, we see an EBITDA margin of 22% at 7.2 million. Some of the major events in the quarter is, of course, I cannot state enough how proud we are of the tenders that we have taken in Stockholm, Skåne, and Kalmar. And you might ask, why is it so important with Sweden? Because we are a Swedish company. This is the best proof of concept we can have to be acknowledged in our home market. Cecilia will tell us a little bit more on what this will actually mean for us going further. We're also happy to see that we are continuing to drive new distributors, and we signed with partners in Brazil, Italy, and South Africa. This is a new territory that we enter into, South Africa. We'll hear more about that. As for the European sales, it's increasing, and I would happily like to state that the Middle East is back on track after somewhat disappointing 2016. We closed the quarter by announcing a very positively in that case, order to China of some 100,000 units. So let's move to the next page. So as we see, when we look at the rolling 12-month figure on a quarterly basis, we see that, yes, the trend is very clear. We are moving in the right direction. We are pleased. We are not satisfied, but we are pleased with this development, of course, and we see an overall 17% growth over the last seven quarters. This is very positive, and we are working very hard to continue on this track. Moving to the next slide, looking at the actual delivery of products. We have stated, and I reiterate, that we are to increase and double sales in our own portfolio. That means the three products I mentioned earlier, the urinary tract, the respiratory tract, and the bloodstream catheters. So if we look then for the quarter, we see that, yes, we delivered some 6.5 million SEK of our own product line, amounting for 150,000 units. This is okay. If I look rather on the first 6 months, we see something that is maybe not according to our expectations. We have delivered some 200,000 units, which is more or less the same as we did last year. But I would like you to also focus on the value aspect here, because when we look at the value, we deliver some 9.6 million, which is an increase of 40%. So the focus remains and the target remains, we are to double sales in 2017. So with those words, I hand over to Cecilia for a quick market update from around the world. So please, Cecilia.
Thank you. Yeah, let's have a look at the market. It's been a very active quarter, I must say, and we've seen some really positive developments. And I'd like to start with Europe and home in on Sweden, where we won a tender for the Stockholm County Council, the biggest council in Sweden, representing about one quarter of the market. And we see this as a real quality stamp. It is a definite confirmation that any question marks which may have been there in the past regarding our technology have now been ironed out. So the two of the biggest regions in Sweden have approved our technology and actually purchased it through tender set up tender contracts, Stockholm
Stockholm County Council and Skåne, which is about half the size of Stockholm. And we see other counties moving in the same direction. Stockholm opens up in November, Skåne opened up in August, and if we take the total market in Sweden, it's about 700,000 Foley, and Stockholm representing about one quarter of that. And over time, we think it's reasonable to expect that we could take some 30% of that share. Of course, it won't happen in the first year, but it will happen over time. We move on to the rest of Europe. We have now established a strong foothold in the DACH region, the German-speaking region, where we have repeat business ongoing from Poland. Austria has been gaining traction. We entered there earlier. And they started with some winning some tenders and also getting the products approved for reimbursement by the insurance system, and this will make volumes grow. Germany is moving ahead, startup phase still, but looking promising. And in Italy, we are relaunching with a new partner, which is focusing on the ICU segment, and we've already started some evaluations there. And there are ongoing activities in other markets also led by our new sales director for Europe. The other very positive development is the Middle East. You all know that 2016 was a rather weak year, and I can say that we are now back on track. Sales are already in line with the full year 2016. We have a market presence in all major markets, and this means that we have a much better balanced portfolio. This quarter, we received orders from all markets, which is also very positive. For Europe and Middle East, we see the drive in the positive product mix, i.e. That our CVCs and ETTs are gaining traction where they are approved for use. And this is also positive for our earnings development. If we home in on the two biggest markets, China and India, I'll start with China, saying that we have good acceptance. We focus on the major hospitals. We have good acceptance and interest at the major hospitals. We have secured a contact with some key opinion leaders, and we've also established a relationship with some doctors' associations like the Urology Society, etc. And this is key to gaining a bigger sales over time. Securing the key opinion leaders, getting the products approved for use to pave the way for bigger sales going forward. The similar situation in India, where we've started with tests in several hospitals. Then as they open up to purchasing across the hospital and may enter into a repeat rate contract over time. We have very good traction in the south of India, where we have a strong regional distributor. And we're moving forward with distributors for the west and the north, and potentially also the east. And we're strengthening our own organization through setting up a small subsidiary that will facilitate imports and working with multiple regional distributors. As for Latin America, you will have seen that we have entered into a partnership with a new distributor. We were not happy with the situation as it was, and have found a distributor now that focuses on the ICU that will help us drive the business forward. So our primary focus in Latin America will be Brazil and Mexico going forward. So let's turn from our own business, or our own product, I should say, to the licensing business. And that has also grown in the quarter. The business with BARD is stable. It's generating stable annual revenues. And you may have seen that BARD recently reported their second quarter results. They're also reporting the same thing, that they have stable or growing earnings in almost all sectors. And urology is very stable. As Christian mentioned, and we alluded to last quarter, is the BD acquisition of BARD, which was announced in April. That has now been approved by the large shareholders, which was a precondition for the acquisition, and that happened as late as the day before yesterday, and that has now been approved. And the acquisition is expected to close in Q4, as it's still subject to some fulfilling some terms and conditions. And let me just remind you of one of the reasons that BD did this acquisition, and that's to strengthen their position in infection prevention, strengthen their leadership, I should say, with products which are targeted to the most costly and frequent hospital-acquired infections. So, coming back to what Christian alluded to earlier, is that this is also highlighting the importance of prevention and preventive technologies related to both catheters and implants. And implants is the other area where we're very active. But we have for some time now been working with a company in Southeast Asia on trauma implants. And we see this primarily as the door opener to a bigger geographic market, as it's focused on the ASEAN, but getting the technology approved for use in the human body in bone applications. It's moving ahead, and we are in the product approval process, and clinical trials are also moving ahead. And I hope to be able to report more on that later in the year. As for SmartWise, where we entered the deal on advanced bacteria-coated vascular injection catheters, you will have seen that we received the second payment of the $2.5 million in total that we will receive this year. So far we've received $1.5 million, and that's also moving ahead as planned. And we have other ongoing discussions at different stages where we see that our technology could benefit the patient. And with that, I'll hand over to Fredrik.
Thank you, Cecilia. So next page, page 13, looking at the financial highlights. So good quarter, Q2, revenues up 8% compared to Q2 2016. EBITDA, also good growth of 61% compared to Q2 last year, with a margin of 11%, which is up from 7% last year. For the first half year, we're very happy to conclude that revenues is up 30% to 77.5 million. If you exclude the license agreement with SmartWise, and the increase is 7%. What I was very happy about is that EBITDA is, for the first half year, 22% or 17.2 million, which is 22% is up from 1% last year. So that's very good. Next page, I think we will skip. So we're going on to page 15, which is the revenue distribution. On that page, we show the distribution of revenues in the accounts. So in Q2, bulk of revenues, 70%, came from license revenues related to CR BARD. So that was 25.7 million SEK. The new license revenues related to SmartWise, 4.3 million SEK, 12% of revenues. And this revenues is the second part of a total revenue for 2017 of $2.5 million. But the first half year, 69% or 53 million SEK is license revenues from BARD. And that includes a positive currency effect of approximately 2.7 million. 13.1 million SEK or 17% is new license revenues related to SmartWise. Moving on to sales of big products, in the quarter, that continued to have a very positive development, plus 76% compared to Q2 last year. So that was 18% of revenues, sales primarily to China, Europe, and the Middle East. Out of these 6.5 million in revenues, 3 million had a cash flow effect. For the first half year, sales of BIP products totaled 9.3 million SEK, or 12% of revenues, and this is up 41% compared to the first half 2016. Other revenues is 0.4 million for the quarter, but the first half year, it's 2 million SEK. These revenues are largely attributable to exchange rate differences and EU grants for development projects. Total revenues for the quarter, in summary, came in at 36.5 million SEK, which is up 8% compared to Q2 last year. For the first half year, revenues up 30% to 77.5 million. Next page, page 16. So we continue to show the development by quarter of our license revenues from Bard. We have commented on that as a stable underlying volumes, although volumes may vary somewhat between quarters. So for Q2, license revenues was actually 5% down from Q2 2016 at a fixed exchange rate. But for the first half year, license revenue from Bard was slightly up 1% at a fixed exchange rate. And talking about exchange rates, as Christian mentioned, this license flow from Bard in US dollars is a main exposure to currency effects. And with the continued uncertain development of the US dollar, we have chosen to hedge this license flow as of June this year. Next page, our key figures on page 17. We have already commented on revenues and EBITDA for the quarter. The EBITDA for the quarter was affected by a provision of inventory obsolescence, which negatively impacted the result in the second quarter by 2.2 million SEK. And this is included in the cost item, raw materials and consumables. Total OPEX for the quarter, defined as other external expenses, personnel costs and other operating expenses, amounts to approximately 26 million SEK, which is approximately 500,000 SEK higher than in Q2 2016. Personnel costs, 1.5 million higher than in Q2 2016, but it reflects the growth in average number of employees from 56 to 65 employees. Operating profit for the quarter, minus 4.8 million, including depreciation amounting to approximately 9 million. As a reminder, depreciation is done on a material and immaterial assets. Technology related to Bactiguard's products is a large asset in the balance sheet, amounting to 225 million, and is depreciated over 15 years. Net profit for Q2, minus 6 million. Financial items for the quarter was negative, with interest costs on loans having the most impact, with 1.5 million SEK. Net profit for the first half year, minus 1.9 million, which is a major improvement from last year. First half year last year, it was minus 18.9 million. So net profit was positively affected by the development in BIP revenues and, of course, the new license deal. Operating cash flow for Q2, positive with 1.8 million SEK, included cash flow from investing activities of 1.3 million. And first half year operating cash flow is slightly below zero. Right, moving on to page 18, showing our financial position. As of the 30th of June, we have equity ratio of 61%, net debt approximately 150 million SEK, and a cash position of approximately 15 million SEK. Adding to the liquidity, we also have an overdraft facility of 30 million SEK not utilized as of the 30th of June. And just as an information, we have the refinancing of the bond loan in Q4 2016. That was refinanced with a bank loan 100 million SEK, maturing on 31st of December 2017. We also have a loan from the main shareholders of 50 million SEK, which matures in June 2018. And with the interest rate of 3.5% on both these facilities, annual interest costs have gone down dramatically, going forward amounting to approximately 5.3 million annually compared to 15.3 million annually in 2016. So next page, financial targets. They are the same, of course. We're talking about targets of average sales growth of 20% per annum for a five-year period. We're talking about an EBITDA margin of at least 30% at the end of the five-year period. I think that concludes my speech and hand over to Christian again for concluding remarks.
Thank you, Fredrik. So, summarizing, a
as from where I started today, our mission is to save lives. In order to do so, we need to get more products into patients. Therefore, of course, we are pleased, never satisfied, but we are pleased then to see the seventh consecutive quarter of increasing big sales. We are also pleased to see that we are breaking through in the Swedish tenders, because this will also give synergies for the European market. We have gone in now to Stockholm, we have gone into Skåne, and of course there are more to come. This gives me confidence going forward. We are also pleased about European expansion. We're seeing that more countries are coming on, and also we are seeing interesting breakthrough, for example, in the German market. Very happy to see Middle East back on track. That was a tough year last year, but we see that the products work, and we are now gaining traction, and we are back on the levels we want to be. Of course, it's not possible to end without mentioning China and India, and we are very optimistic. We are positive. It is big markets, tough markets, and there will also be a very challenging time going forward. But it gives me a very confident feeling going into Q3 and Q4 that we will, as Fredrik just mentioned, deliver on our financial targets, being, of course, doubling the sales in the BIP portfolio. From a license perspective, we're happy to see, of course, our biggest partner, C.R. Bard. We are curious and interested about what it will mean with the new acquisition of BD. We will find out later on this year, and we will promise to come back to you as soon as we know. It gives me, though, confidence. We're also happy to see that we are improving and expanding within new license deals, as Cecilia just mentioned. And I'm rather sure that we will see more of this brand coming later on this year. As we are expanding, we need, of course, always to have our hand very close to the handbrake as for cost control. We are doing so, and therefore I'm pleased to see that the overall margins are coming to the level where we want to be. We are not there yet, but let's say 22% for the first half year is one step in the one direction. So all in all, I would say, as I've said before, we have a solid platform to rest on. But we're not resting, because we are full steam ahead for growing sales and expanding around the world. So by doing so, we are closing in on our financial targets, but most of all important, on our mission to save lives. And by those words, I would like to hand back to you and thank you all for listening. And please, operator, you take over now for questions. Thank you all.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask an audio question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. So that is 01 to register for a question. There will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. First question comes from the line of Johan Unnerus from Swedbank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, it's Johan Unnerus, Swedbank, and congratulations for another quarter with progress and growth, even if the absolute level is still on the modest side. My first question is to qualify that quote with the target to double sales team. Does that go for total sales or BIP sales? Or that could be the first question. Thanks.
Christian here. Could you repeat your question, Johan? I heard it, but it was breaking up a little bit in the most important part, so I answer you correctly.
Yes, no. The quote and the ambition to double sales in 2017, does that go for BIP sales or product sales? You have to qualify that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, then we are back on track. Very easily, yes. The ambition that we have stated since day one this year is to double sales in our BIP portfolio. And just to remind all on the call, last year we had some 15 million SEK in sales, that means we are targeting a 30 million SEK sales this year within the BIP portfolio.
Excellent, that's appreciated. And also the, especially China, but also India, what's the outlook in the second half of the year in terms of repeat orders and also the prospect of increasing the volume? This repeat order has been similar levels as earlier. Thank you.
Thank you, Johan. I hand over to Cecilia to comment on that, please.
Yes, as you know, we just had a big order delivered to China, which was a similar size of the two orders we delivered last year. But again, we see potential for more in the year to come. As regards India, as we expand to new regions, we will have new distributors focusing on, for example, the Western region with Mumbai and the North with Delhi, and we expect that that will also drive orders and deliveries. But it's a bit difficult to say exactly when in time that will happen, but I see potential for more this year.
So potential for more this year, but not sort of for certain that we can expect sizable repeat orders already this year.
Yeah, I expect that we will see sizable repeat orders, or actually for some of the regions, I mean, it depends on what you mean repeat. It will be orders by new distributors, but that there will be new orders in the second half of this year, yes.
Okay, thank you. And also you made progress in Europe and not least in Sweden. And again, a qualification, your approximation of the 700K market in Sweden, does that go for all types of your product portfolio or only Foley products? Yes.
It's very difficult to say exactly what the market is, but the 700,000 I mentioned was related to Foley's only, because that's the tender that we have seen or won recently for Stockholm and for Skåne. So the other products would then provide additional volume.
Okay, that's also appreciated. And the ambition of grabbing a 30% market share, is that something that could be relevant within 5 years, or is it too early to set a sort of a time outlook for that?
That's a million-dollar question, Johan. But of course, our ambition is high. But to go to 30% is in 5 years, maybe possible. Our challenge now is really be out there and see that the framework agreements mean that we do visits to all the major hospitals and also the primary care units, so that we increase the usage and it could get to the benefit of the patient. Then we will see a snowball effect. When people see the benefits of using it, we will have a snowball effect.
And on the other side of the timescale, this latest framework contract, what is it? What should we expect out of that? Of course, prices can be assumed to be on the squeezed side in a framework contract. What about volumes? Is it too early, or should we? What sort of early volumes could we expect first year?
For Stockholm, I said it was about one quarter of the total. The framework agreement starts from November of this year, and that's when it starts. So, it's likely to see the pickup rates from next year. It doesn't have any volume included in it, but again, our ambition is to grab a substantial market year already in the first year, but of course it will grow gradually. And as I said, I think usage increases, it will snowball into others. But we will have a high level of activity in activating these framework contracts with our sales staff on the ground in the Swedish market.
And Christian here, just adding a comment there, Johan. Whereas Skåne, starting earlier, and remind us all now that we are already active in Skåne, and for the other participants on the phone, just to elaborate, these framework agreements are more or less like you're giving the hunting license to, maybe that's a bad choice of word, but I don't find any better one right now, giving you access to, for example, Skåne, giving you access to the Stockholms läns landsting. You are not guaranteed units, volumes, anything, but you have the okay and the green light to go out there. And we are prepared here, and this gives us great confidence, having sales reps on site since way before these contracts were entered into, both for Skåne and for Stockholm. So I would be disappointed unless we could get some of those volumes coming in on this year, especially in Skåne.
Excellent. And some final questions. What about the studies that are sort of ongoing and are sort of stepping up in Germany and India? Is it possible to give any feedback on the recruitment and the progress? Thank you.
Yeah, the Indian study is going well and is following the timeline we set out. For those of you who may not be so familiar with it, it is a post-approval clinical trial for Foley catheters involving 1,000 patients at 6 different sites across India, which means that we have access to hospitals in all major regions, and we see this that it will be a powerful marketing tool going forward. That study is expected to be completed at the end of this year in terms of patient recruitment, which means then that sometime in the first quarter of next year we will have the final report and results. So that follows the original time frame. As regards to the German study, I assume that you refer to the Martini study. We are in it. That was divided in two phases. One was a pilot study to agree on how the study would be designed, and that is ongoing. And once that has been completed, there will be a decision on the following step. There are other smaller studies ongoing, specific studies. I think we'll come back to that later when there's more tangible things to report.
Great. And the final question regarding the cash flow is, at this stage, relatively volatile. Say anything about the outlook on that side? Thank you.
It is volatile. We are a small company with working capital effects having a major impact on the cash flow. But of course, with the you know, expectations for the rest of the year, that will generate cash flow. That is about as much as I can say. So we're confident on generating cash flow the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you. That could be enough for me for the time being.
Once again, if you do have a question for the speakers, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There will be a further pause while questions are being registered. As there are no further questions registered, I will return the conference back to Christian.
Thank you all, and thank you for listening in to our second quarter report. I would just like to end by saying that where I started, we are seeing a very threatening challenge around the world within the healthcare system around antimicrobial resistance and the lack of efficient antibiotics. In this war, we are without an army, but we have a very good and strong toolbox to assist healthcare systems. So by those words, I feel very confident going forward. I see our growth is coming. We are doing everything we do, and as the bacteria, we never go on vacation. We are sticking to our mission to be out there in order to save lives and make healthcare systems more efficient. So thank you all for listening, and we will talk soon again. Bye-bye.